There is realistic-looking war on a video game screen. Always a soundtrack, and you see the enemy as you blow him away in Call of Duty Black Ops or other combat video games. And then there is simply real war on a screen.
Hey, Sergeant Max engaging somebody just northwest of...
Northwest of the house?
Roger.
Footage of a real firefight shot in Afghanistan. No soundtrack, and the enemy is far away, even if the bullets are close at hand. This is from the award-winning documentary Restrepo. The realism of war is something that can be experienced in a game or on the battlefield, and soldiers today often experience both. The popularity of Call of Duty Black Ops among military officers and infantry is one reason why Dave Anthony, our next guest, and a writer and director of Call of Duty, has been asked to actually be a real-life strategic advisor to the Art of Future War project at the Atlantic Council.
Well, with Call of Duty, I mean, the game's been going for 10 years now, and what we've always tried to do is make it feel like it's grounded in reality, because we believe that's a large part of what makes it successful. So when I did the last game, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, it was the first time we'd actually gone into the near future. So it was a completely fictional scenario, and I wanted to make absolutely sure that this felt as realistic and grounded as possible, so that, you know, you could really believe that this could happen as a projection of where we are today.
People who use Call of Duty, particularly the military users of Call of Duty, what have they told you about either the realism or the sense of immersion that they get from playing this game?
I've always been very, very flattered by how many people in the military do actually play our game. And, you know, I hear time and time again that, you know, it helps them blow off steam, you know, after they've been on missions. And I even heard, this was actually from Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, who actually helped me create the fictional story for Black Ops 2. He spends a lot of time on bases in both Iraq and Afghanistan, and he sees the guys, you know, playing these games. And he told me very specifically that he believes it improves their situational awareness on the field, because they often play the game before they go out, and he believes it may even save lives.
Now, that's a bit of the old Ender's Game premise, that gaming is a training for some sort of galactic warfare. Oliver North may believe it, but what do you believe?
I can see the validity in that, because it's reaching a level of realism where you can really, you know, believe that these conflicts could happen. And the way they are realized, the environments look realistic, the soldiers look realistic, the guns themselves are extremely realistic. And I can believe that soldiers would do that. And I've actually heard personally from soldiers that they have, and have got benefit from it in that reason. But I can tell you, it's not something we ever thought of when we're making these games, that things like this could happen.
Now, to be on the Art of Future War project at the Atlantic Council, is that a strategic exercise? Is that an exploration of future tactics? Or is it a sort of a more of a Zen kind of Art of War, Sun Tzu sort of thing?
It's a genuine and realistic attempt to see if creative people can bring something to discussions in Washington that isn't there yet. I really do believe that there is great value in this collaboration, because fundamentally, very creative people or artists or, you know, whatever the terminology that people use is, these people think very, very differently to how people think in Washington, I think. And, you know, we have to think differently, because your job as an artist is basically to bust apart convention and structure, because when you're making a product, whether it's a game or a movie or a TV show, what you have to do is, there's so much competition out there that you have to define yourself constantly in a new way. And I look at, you know, what happens in Washington, and it seems to me like it's a very, very reactive system, where very often policies will change, or the government itself will only change as a result of something happening.
Well, thinking about Call of Duty and a lot of the movies that attempt to show a real hyper-realism regarding the conflicts that we understand today, I'm thinking of Lone Survivor, Black Hawk Down, that sort of thing. You know, I'm just wondering if maybe the game scenario or the game metaphor is a problem, because what you have, and I've read lots of these books about the Afghanistan and the Restrepo situation, where you've got these soldiers who are in these situations where tactically in one-on-ones they can inflict huge amounts of damage, but over the long haul it's kind of hopeless, that if all you can do is sit around, blow stuff away that's around you and call in air support, you don't necessarily end up winning any hearts and minds or making a constructive change, and that, you know, you're caught in this endless tactical battle, which very much is like playing Call of Duty endlessly, day after day, week after week.
I couldn't agree more in terms of the continued strategy of how the military is deployed in this respect. I mean, we're seeing this right now. And one of the big things that I want to try and examine as part of my involvement in Washington is really looking at how fighting wars needs to change. I think the government and the military infrastructure is still stuck very much in the old days. I mean, even go back to World War II, where if there's a problem with someone we need to deal with, then we just send in an army and deal with it.
A lot of soldiers, particularly commanders, really, if they're scoring themselves in combat, it's not really about the objective. It's about coming home with all their men. How difficult is it to simulate something like that?
The way we've tried to handle this in the stories that we've done, and I think we've got better at this, is actually portraying the human element in terms of the character development within these stories. It's actually people that you can relate to. The enemies don't think that they're evil. They think everyone thinks they're a hero. You know, everybody has their own perspective. And we've put a lot of effort into some of the more recent Call of Duty games, certainly the ones I have directed and written, where we actually portray the human side of combat. And I think that's very important.
Dave, thanks so much.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Dave Anthony is the writer and director of Call of Duty Black Ops 1 and 2, and he's the newest team member on the Art of Future War project at the Atlantic Council.